Mark Donick here at RTX 2017 with the incomparable Samantha Ireland. Hi, Sam.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing fantastic. How are you doing?
I'm doing good, thank you.
We're winding down of RTX. What's been your favorite thing this weekend? Mm-hmm. Or your favorite thing to like finally show or to be a part of? Just
Maybe the Ruby panel. Yeah, it's always so good. Mm-hmm. And I cried a little bit just at how beautiful what we saw. I loved that. And also someone shared a really
The personal story.
The very personal story, and it was very touching, and mm-hmm. I couldn't hold it back.
No, it's moments like that really show the depth and breadth and the heart of the community. Mm-hmm. And there have been various times throughout the different panels and such where we've been getting certain reactions about, like, not so happy reactions about certain things, which I don't understand. You just don't get unless you're here. Once you're here and you see everybody, it's a completely different experience.
Yeah. I know. I don't know. Like, well, I think no matter what, like, when you're a part of any kind of creative community, you can't please everyone.
Exactly.
And also people have artistic point of views as well, so I don't know.
And their own licenses then.
That's so true.
while we're on Ruby though, and the stuff that they showed in the panel today, we know that we're going to be getting updated shorts for our main team. Mm-hmm. But if Nora got one of those shorts, what would you want to see from it?
Oh, that's such a good question. Because I always think about it. Like, well, I think, like, oh, that'd be so cool if Nora had one. But then I don't think about, like, what it should be.
That's not your job.
Well, I don't know. I'm thinking, well, because, I don't know, maybe a little Norse-like or, let me think about it for a sec. Something with electricity, obviously, so maybe like a lightning bolt kind of like field or something. And I don't know, even like Thor-like, or where she could grab lightning bolts and like kill Grimm with it. That's my idea.
What about the first time she finds out what her semblance is? And could you imagine, like, just a storm, like Stormy on the water, and she herself gets struck by lightning, and then all of a sudden is like...
Oh my god. We just
jumps.
They just hired us to write that. You write that for this season. that's licensing, like, you know.
TM. Weird TMing there, intellectual property. But I know you said on our panel, thank you again for joining us for our panel.
Thanks for having me. It's always fun to like just talk about it. You know, like there's like it was formality, but like we got to like just hang out and talk theories, because we also have theories. Ourselves, you know.
So you mentioned that you haven't done too much recording for Volume 5.
No,
but
not yet.
With how Volume 4 ended, and you've said before, and say it again, the handhold thing caught you a little bit off guard, but not necessarily just in a relationship, but what further growth do you see Nora going through this volume?
I don't know. I think it would be really great if we could delve more into how she's taken Pyrrha's death. Like, we talked about it, like, in our panel. Because, correct me if I'm wrong, but she had a heart, and now she has a slash in it.
But it's also void. Like, it's not a drawn-on heart, it's missing.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Because, I can't tell, like, you know, like... Mm-hmm. I thought that had something to do with her death, and like
I never even thought about that. That's amazing, and I love like subtle costume design stuff that affects character.
I mean, so what is it exactly? Like,
where the heart was, it's the same design, but instead of it being printed on the shirt, it's a cutout.
Yeah, it's a
so
cutout,
the heart's missing,
and there's a slash in it, and that's why I thought it was because of Pyrrha's death, and that's why it looks the way that it does. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. I wish we could kind of delve more into that world, because like it's like she went missing, but like there is stuff that needs to get done.
Well,
obviously.
Well, speaking to that, one of the things that a fan asked and people have been wanting to see it is the doubles match from season 3 with.
I know.
And did you end up recording stuff for that?
I did record for that scene. So I was really sad when it got cut out.
So not necessarily getting into a specifics, but what...
I can't even remember.
No, okay, honestly. All right.
But it was... All I can say is that it was fun.
Yeah.
And it was funny, too. And that's why I was like, man, why did they cut that one out? Because I was really looking forward to that scene being shown. So I don't... Is it not on any behind the scenes or anything?
It's not there, but I figure if we do go deeper into Nora's feelings about everything this next season, they could update it into the new engine, and it could be a flashback of like back when things were so easy.
I know, and that's such a good avenue to take too, just because of all that's been going on, and they're not kids anymore, or they're just like realizing the world is so much bigger than what it was before.
Yeah,
and I think that would be really cool if we could delve more into when times were, this is when we were just at school.
We were just school children 4 months ago.
Exactly. Not that long ago.
But so much growth in that, just the world came to them instead of them going out into the world.
I wish they thought they were going to do that. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go to school, I'm going to be a huntress, and I'm going to take on what I need to take on. Instead, like, now it's like, I got to put my bootstraps on now and start working, even though I haven't been taught everything that I could be taught yet.
And speaking of fan reaction, did you see the fan art of the Team Juniper during the finale, where everybody's laying on the bed, and they added Pyrrha back in, lying in the...
Don't make me cry. It's definitely...
We'll get there.
It makes me cry, because I'm like, oh my god, that's so wonderful. And it makes me think about Monty too, because there was a lot of fan art like that, and so that's why I get so emotional thinking about it.
I never met the man, but I feel like he's done so much for me, and I can only imagine folks that were closer to him. And seeing the start was it season three, where we saw the birds flying into the sun, and it was the singer. Moving on. Let's talk about Chibi.
Happiness.
Let's laugh.
Happiness in a ball of container.
And we talked a little bit about it this year with it being sort of just starting, but now that it's become essentially its own franchise, where it's anybody can watch it, anybody can laugh, but then with knowing a little bit about the Ruby story, it ends up becoming a little bit bigger. Have you met people that are more Chibi fans than Ruby proper?
No, I get more, I get contacted more about their kids watching it. Mm. And like my kid can watch it with me too. Like we just watched a couple episodes the other morning, after breakfast. I was like, do you want to watch Ruby? Because I call that Ruby. I don't call it Ruby Chibi, but he loves it. And because he can't watch the other, he's 3.5. Yeah. So my God, he should not be watching that. So I like that. I like to hear about how their kids are enjoying it, because, they can't necessarily maybe watch it themselves like Ruby, but they can enjoy Ruby Chibi. And it's so much fun. And for me, Ruby Chibi is Nora's mind, I think. So, that's what I like about it. I love the writing this season, too. Mm-hmm. Because they brought on Tom, another writer.
Father-daughter team.
Yeah, I met them earlier today, and they're so nice. Mm-hmm. So it was really cool. It's the same voice. He has a different voice, but it's not the same voice, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. So it was a cool dynamic to add to the team.
So before let's take a break from Rooster Teeth and talk about your live action efforts. The Saw just got into another festival.
Yeah, this one is a really indie, it's like a filmmakers kind of like.
That's great.
Yeah, no, I'm really excited. Like I have had a lot of friends that get into this and they have very positive things to say about this festival. So I'm excited. And I just actually got nominated for Best Actress too. So that's cool.
That's very cool.
Yeah, I'm excited about that.
Now that you're taking this all around and trying to get it through the festival circuit, what's the next step? I know, but leading questions and whatnot.
But for the Saw alone, it's its own little thing. It's just a short film. I think I'm going to edit it one more time to make it a little bit shorter. Mm-hmm. So then I can just put it online and keep it online. Once I'm done with, I think I have a few more I need to hear from. And then once I've heard, then I'm going to do my thing after the festivals take place. So probably at the end of the year, I'll do that.
Okay.
And then, So I wrote another short film that I really like, and I've shown it to a lot of people that want to be a part of it as well. But it's just tricky just because if it's a period piece, it's in the 1890s, and so it's very particular. But I wanted to shoot it this year. I just don't know if I'm going to be able to because I want to do it the right way. Mm-hmm. But if I do shoot it this year, it'd have to be like probably winter, like fall, winter. It's just too hot to film. And if I want to do it on location, I'd like to do it in West Texas, like in Marfa. And there's some buildings out there. Terlingua.
Okay.
Which is a like old ghost town out in the West Texas area. And so that's where I'd want to film it. So it's just a lot of logistics involved with that. But
especially with a period piece.
Oh, yeah. Especially with a period piece. I'd love to have like just a skeleton crew and go out there. But I think it's going to be a little bit more than that. And there's like 4 main characters and 2 that aren't as main. I like that. I really, really, really love that script. So I'm never going to like let it go. But I've been trying to see if maybe I could develop it into something else, like maybe a pilot or for a series, because I do like 2 of the characters. I think that their storyline could go further after. I just don't know. I don't know if that's what I want to do with it. I kind of like where it's at right now.
Are you a big Western fan?
I grew up watching Westerns, but this is kind of like more of a modernized Western. It's not spaghetti or anything like that. It's not a John Wayne, but
like a little more like Hateful Eight.
Yeah, yeah. It's similar to Hateful Eight, actually. Like even my friends tell me it's got a little bit of a Tarantino taste to it. And I love his films.
Who is that?
Oh, you know.
I don't know, some compliment.
Some kind. Yeah, it was really.
Some indie guy.
Yeah, some indie guy. He's never gone anywhere. And like. I really like it, and I never saw Hateful Eight all the way through. Like, I only did a character study of Daisy Domague, so I basically have just seen her tidbits, but I do like Tarantino a lot, and I love, it all takes place kind of in one night, there's flashes, but, and like, it takes place in a place that's claustrophobic, too, and, people don't know who each other are, and yeah. So I love stories like that, and
people forced into like unlikely situations trying to get out together.
Yeah, and you're trying to figure out where do we go from here, and who are you? Like who are you really? Deep down. So I like stories like that, and it's female led. Half of it's most of it's actually in Spanish.
That's
and
awesome.
So I had a translator and everything, and we antiquated the language and everything, which is on a writer's standpoint. I'm not a very strong writer. I'll keep trying, but I think what was cool about this is that the only other language I kind of learned was German, but I don't know, I can't remember it. It was from school,
sure.
But Spanish, just how different words really have weight and the way that you say them, how it truly affects how people treat one another. And that's so, it was really cool. And it just opened up more world to me, to the characters as well, and how I wanted to tell the story. So I'm like, once we get really into the depths of it, I started doing just budgeting and producer side of it. But I think if I really want to make it happen and be happy with it, I need to find like a full-time producer that'll help me out, because I don't think I can produce this one and also direct and also be in it.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to bite off more than I can chew with that, because there's just a lot of moving pieces.
At least you're figuring that out before the fact.
Yeah, no,
you know, you're not in the middle of it going, what have I done?
Yeah. I don't know if I want to put people on that train and then like, be like, oh, I can't get us there. You know what I mean?
Thanks for coming. We don't need it. You're all dismissed. Never mind, everybody. So what's your favorite part of that process? Is it the directing? Is it the writing? Is it the producing? Is it the location scouting? Is it the casting?
I like a lot of different aspects of it. I love the directing. I really like the acting, just because I'm writing characters that I don't get to play ever. I'm like, you know, everyone has a certain type, or at least what society has pressed
everybody is
on us.
Given a certain type.
Exactly. So that's basically that's what I'm going to be. That's what I'm excited about the most, is that I'm like, I wrote these characters and like they're for me. Mm. to play and know that this is what I have and this is what I can do. And I want to be able to just challenge myself as well. And so I like that, but I miss directing. My degree's in directing, so I miss it. It's on the theater world, but I'm glad I took the leap and said, yeah, I'm going to do it. I'm going to start directing film, even though I never went to film school. But you know what? A lot of people didn't either. So that are very successful.
And you got to use those liberal arts degrees, tell you what.
I know. It's like, I have this. I should use it, right?
It's just like, oh, that's where that went. Dusted off. Oh, there's like a ring from a cup on it. Yeah, I guess so. What have you found has been different from screen to stage? Because, like, yeah, it can be a little different, especially when you get one area to work with as opposed to traveling and being on set.
I love being on set. Like, I live for that. Some people don't like it. I love set. I haven't been doing theater lately,
yeah.
But I did just join like a fun sketch group for the month of August.
That's
it's
great.
Called Fuck It's Hot, and it's that's what it's called.
Also the same reason why you can't shoot that shirt is the
yeah. but yeah, so that's happening, and it's all about Austin, how hot it is, and everything. So I'm really excited about it. It's with Tom Booker, who does a lot of Rooster Teeth stuff. That's his, it's the Institution Theater. It's his improv, him and Asaf, who also does Rooster Teeth stuff.
That sounds like so much fun.
Yeah, well, they're like, they run the show, and then, but we have a director who's also in the cast, and it's just, it's a bunch of us writing sketches and all kinds. Like, I'm collaborating on a Topo Chico sketch, and, you know, we have all kinds of, like, Austin-based sketches, so it's gonna be really fun. Though I like the group I'm with, so I'm excited about that. And I started doing improv, like formally trained in improv. I've never been until I started in January. I'm in 301 now, and it's been, I love it. Like, I could never get enough of it, in all honesty.
It's fun to get a script and play within the rules, but then once the rules get taken away,
or not to have a script.
Yeah,
you know, like no script, do it. That mortifies me until I started taking improv, and now I'm really enjoying it. And I was like so technical in my brain in the beginning, and now I'm not at all. Like, I feel, I love it. I'm really excited about it.
Mm-hmm. Got to get out of your head. So speaking to
out of your head and into your heart, as what they say in improv.
That's beautiful.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
It's so
great.
Nice.
That's great. We just need nice things, not. Not people dying in animated shows. I had to bring it back. Sorry. But speaking of improv, how has that helped your acting, your voice acting?
Oh, it's great. Like, I've always, it's easy to improv within a character for me, but it's helped me with like auditions, you know, like commercial auditions. They don't have a script for you most of the time. You just go in. You're supposed to do something and talk, and you're like
toothpaste. Go.
Yeah. And you're what? What do you want me to do with this? So it's been helping me with auditions, and also it's been helping me with like people, personal communication too. So, I've always been okay with improvising within a character. If I have a script, and anytime thing like on stage, sometimes a line will be dropped. Where do we go from there? Well, your character. What would happen?
Yeah.
So that's always been like in my system, but I just have never been taught how to make your brain not think when it's something that's just completely organic, which is cool. It's super cool.
Yeah, and just don't get lost in it. You know?
No, you don't need to know every information. No. You just go with it. Go with how you feel. Go to extremities, and like, it's so I love stuff like that. I'm really enjoying it.
What's your favorite extreme emotion to land? Like, what's your go-to where it's like, all right.
I go extreme, like, all of the time, I feel like, in my improv. Like, I'm like, it's like me and this other guy that, like, we're, like, the extreme people. Cause he's,
all right.
But yeah, exactly. I don't know. I love to be angry.
Yeah.
Which is, nobody likes that. But, like, I don't know. I just like all extreme emotions. Like, I love, and I love playing confused and all kinds of stuff.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I don't know. I like just playing extreme, period. No matter what it is.
Speaking of extreme, let's talk about Camp Camp. Let's talk about the Flower Scouts. We haven't seen them yet. The last time we talked to you, you talked about getting a couple of scripts, and we're already halfway through the season. We haven't seen them once yet.
I know. I'm getting nervous. I did an awesome recording, and I want to say so much more, but sure. I can't. And if it's, especially if it's going to happen, who knows? I hope it does. Hopefully, I didn't mess it up. But they said that I had to go in for Nora Chibi, and I said, "Did my Flower Scout thing come out okay?" And they said, "If they didn't, Sam, we would have brought you back in." And I was like, "Okay, but still, I'm really nervous about it, and I want it to be fun because it's a great script. It's so good. So I hope we get to see it. I know we're halfway through, so I'm like." Nervous.
something that they brought up in the panel was that the season finale is going to be a parents' visit Camp Campbell. Can you tell us if they visit any other camps?
No.
That's unfortunate. But all of the... Because already that multiplication of three and then six more of those people...
I don't even know. I think the world would explode if they saw all of their parents. They're probably horrendous human beings. Yeah.
I would hope. I mean, you can't hope that anybody's truly horrendous, but...
All the Flower Scouts are.
How do you like the reaction to season one from the Flower Scouts?
It's awesome. Mm-hmm. I've always wanted to play mean girls. I've always wanted to play a villain, just because everyone puts me as like a sunshine, mm-hmm. like, you know, kind of character. So I would love to just delve into it. So when they told me I'm going to be playing these three roles of mean girls, I was like, oh yeah, this is awesome. And it's been really rewarding. Mm-hmm. And Camp Camp overall, everyone really digs it, which I'm so happy about, because it's probably my favorite thing that Rooster Teeth does, in all honesty.
It's constantly on repeat on my phone. It's so flipping great. So our camera's dying. So as a sort of a last fun thing, what was your favorite line to perform from season one, and your favorite line from another character from season one?
Tabby, seriously, what the fuck?
That's a good one.
Or this one, like. Or, you know, the other thing that she says, well, not she says, but Tabby says, and if they pee on you, you get pregnant. That's what my sister told me. I like that one, too.
the everything that you're doing is on fire, especially that one that's currently delayed, quite literally. And fuck, it's hot. So, Sam... Absolutely amazing. It's always a pleasure to talk to you.
You too.
And hope it's not too long before we talk to you again.
Of course.
Anytime, please.
Yay.
All right. Yeah. Thank you so much. I'll see you back in California. Stop the camera. It's dying. It's dying.